Thank you, Dave. Oh, it's great to be here this morning, and it's great to be able to open the Word together with you and to be encouraged by our Heavenly Father. Let's just pray. I invite you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we each come here this morning with stories to tell, experiences lived, and Lord, yet today we ask that as we sit here, Lord, that you will calm our minds. Lord, we ask that you will speak to us, each one, with a personal message. Lord, I pray that anything that might be a distraction this morning will be taken from our memories. Lord, may we be focused on you, focused on your word, expecting to hear you speak to us today through these verses. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, Jack, for that children's address. And it really well summarized, I think, today's conversation. So the focus today is Philippians chapter 4, particularly verse 13. But just to read a few verses before then, let's just start a few verses before. I know what it is to be in need, Paul says. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, the book of Philippians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. Now, he at the time was actually in prison. Now, I've not been in prison, but I would imagine that if I was in prison, perhaps I wouldn't be quite so keen to be writing letters of encouragement to the churches. But that was what Paul did. He took the opportunity. He took this season of his life as an opportunity to encourage the church. And may these words be an encouragement to us today. There is all the difference in the world between the I can life and the I can't life. One is a life of victory and gladness. The other is a life of depressing inadequacy. It's the difference between plus and minus. Now, it's grand to feel thoroughly equal to things, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And of course, the spiritual and the physical and the mental all interact together. And when we are living the I can life of spiritual victory, our whole nature benefits. And the secret of the I can life lies in those two words, through Christ. There is indeed the secret of spiritual victory. Now, quite recently, I heard a friend exclaim to me, he said, "Oh, if only I were a millionaire, what great things I would do." Once I had an old lady come to me and she said, "Oh, look, if only I had good health, I would be on top of the world." Some years ago, I heard a young man say, "Oh, if only I had his opportunities, I would strike top level." Perhaps you may have heard someone say, "If only I had his gifts or her gifts, what wouldn't I be able to accomplish?" Yet, experience has shown me that when such coveted possessions become ours, we often find that what we thought would be a golden advantage are actually difficulties. And what we had thought was a disadvantage were in reality disguised opportunities. You see, the true Christian position is to accept that which God appoints and to say in the face of that, to say in the face of that, "I can do all things through Christ." Now, if this weren't the case, I could imagine Paul, the Apostle Paul, perhaps saying something like this. Look, if I were the Emperor of Rome, I would issue a decree enforcing the universal acceptance of Christianity around the world. Or perhaps Peter, he might have said, if I were a doctor of the law, a learned philosopher, I would startle those wicked Sanhedrin with my sophisticated oratory from Mars Hill. But such statements are absent in the scriptures. Instead, our attitude may be summed up in Paul's own words. I can do all things through Christ. Now, I can imagine someone out there perhaps saying, look, I want to live the I can life, but my confusion rests in how this I can life works. May I suggest, I can do all things through Christ when I allow Christ to do all things through me. There's a hint of submission in that, isn't there? A hint of dying to ourselves, being a living sacrifice unto God. You can, I can, we can through Christ. Here is enabling for us in our Christian service. All of us who know the Lord long to do something for Him. Many of us perhaps are engaged already in Christian work of some form. Now, when things get tough, and we know that things do, and things will become a challenge, do we persevere? Are we tolerating those disappointments? Are we just saying, I just can't do any more? I've had enough. I'm over. I'm done. Or have we learned that spiritual lesson? And do we ride across that challenge? I can through Christ. That's the I can life. And everything depends on whether we've learned the secret of those little words, I can. But more importantly, those other little words, through Christ. He who made the little slave boy the champion of the Exodus, that's Moses. The shepherd lad, David, the slayer of Goliath. The captive Daniel, he became prime minister of Babylon. He transformed Simon into Cephas, Saul into Paul. He has made thousands of his humble followers spiritual giants. And he can enable you and me to do all things that he puts in front of us, all things that we are going through at this time. If we learn the secret that we do so through Christ. The flicker of my little candle can become a very sunshaft if Christ is in it. My simple word of witness can be a two-edged sword if Christ is in it. You know, the common desert bush can glow. Think of Moses. If Christ is in it, the one vital connection is that we guard against anything which interrupts our fellowship with Christ. We make the contact by yielding ourselves completely and fully, wholeheartedly to Him. We keep the contact by daily living in communion with Him. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is also enabling for us who are carrying burdens. The text may equally be read, I can bear all things through Christ. There's a story of an old lady, and she had prayed for many, many years to do something special for Christ. Very sadly, what came into her life was a trial, a very significant trial, which cut her off from doing anything. Now, at first, she was rebellious, the story says, but later, when she accepted the trial as her heavenly Father's will, she made one of life's greatest discoveries. It was a trial with a ministry in it. God's grace, God's love, God's peace, God's joy flooded her soul, and she became radiant amidst her trial. And she was a wonderful testimony to many needy hearts. Hundreds were blessed by her testimony. The story says, the writer says, she told me, I prayed that God would give me something to do, but God has given me something to bear. That word strengthen, that's in the present continuous tense. That means he strengthens us now, tomorrow, the next day. He goes on strengthening me. You and me, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The ordinary life is generally the most difficult to live beautifully. We need Christians who will live the ordinary life in a really out of the ordinary way. Now, our Lord has a special pleasure, as he himself has said, in those of his servants who are faithful over a few things, much will be given. We should be very cautious of misappreciating or undervaluing the so-called common, ordinary, simple Christian life. Think about a pipe organ. If you've been in some old churches, you walk in, there's the beautiful big pipe organ. It's not only the front line of pipes that give forth music. Some of those out of sight are just as musical and sometimes, in fact, more important than those at the front that you see. A rose need not be seen before its fragrance can be appreciated. We've all been into a garden. We've smelt that rose and we look for it. The longer I live, the more I understand the power and the value of those lives which, although they will never find themselves in newspaper columns, they transmit the love and the life and the grace of Jesus Christ among neighbours, work colleagues, and friends. Publicity is not essential to faithfulness or true success. We may feel out of sight, but we are never out of God's sight. His love look is ever on us. He is watching to see whether we are faithful amidst our current circumstances. We should seek no longer the elaborate and the spectacular forms of service for Christ, but instead we should seek sanctification, purity of heart, humility of spirit, and preparedness, being willing and able to speak the gospel by our very own lives, and perhaps use words if necessary, to those we meet. In Hebrews chapter 11, commencing from verse 32 to 34, we read these amazing words. Hebrews, another book written by the Apostle Paul. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Doesn't that speak to us? Perhaps to you, perhaps this morning. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Now, the 11th chapter of Hebrews has often been referred to as the Westminster Abbey of the Bible. Here we find the heroes, the heroines of Old Testament times, men and women of faith who did great things in the eyes of the Lord. Now, as I read of their heroics, I am challenged. Yet at the same time, there's a subtle suspicion there in my mind that they were different to me. They were different to you and to us. We could never be like them. They were special. We're just plain ordinary. Men and women, boys and girls, they were special. Then we come across this little verse. Whose weakness was turned to strength. And it gives a whole new complexion to their story. Here I find is comfort and hope. Those men and women of long ago faith, they were real flesh and blood, heroes and heroines, just like you and me. They had like passions to you and me. If they were indeed weak humans, like ourselves, then maybe you and I can be like them. Yes, I believe we can. But how? Well, in each of these Old Testament worthies, we see the triumph of a certain principle, which must triumph also in you and in me. It's the triumph of what we're calling the faith principle. By faith, which lifted them above the merely human into another plane. Are you a nervous person? Do you suffer from ill health? Is your complaint that you're not made of the hero stuff? Then let these victor's files be before you. And may you read each of these men and these women's stories and be encouraged, whose weakness was turned to strength. Do not seek power in this life. It is faith that God honors. Let's think about this quickly in regards to Christian service. During the past century, few biographies have influenced young Christians more than that of Hudson Taylor. Who's heard of Hudson Taylor? Okay, excellent. What was Hudson Taylor's secret? Here it is in his own words. The Lord was looking for a man weak enough to use, and he found me. That's what Hudson Taylor said. Dwight Moody, an American evangelist, he once observed this. He said, we may easily be too strong or too big for God, but we can never be too small or too weak. Never be too small or too weak. The fact is that most of us are disqualified, not through our weakness, but through a deep resistance in our human ego. It's all about me. I can do these things. I need to show my family. I need to show my colleagues at work that I can do these things. Before God can bless or use us as he wishes, he somehow needs to break this resistance down. Now, in the scriptures, there are classic examples of this. See the resistance which was overcome in Moses before God could use him to evacuate the covenant's people from Egypt. God spoke to him at the bush. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, Moses said, that I should bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. They will not believe me. They won't listen to me. I am not eloquent of speech. I am slow of speech. Oh, Lord, find somebody else. You got the wrong guy. Did God say, yes, yes, that's right. Sorry, wrong guy. No. God still used him. Look at Gideon. The resistance in Gideon before God could use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, What do you mean? You got it wrong. You got to show me a sign, God. I'm not the right guy. They're my words, not his words. But he was the right guy. And God did use Gideon, and God did use Moses, and God did use hundreds of people, and God will use us as well. Moses, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's rod despised by the Egyptians? Yet that rod in the hand of a yielded Moses lays Egypt low, divides the Red Sea, and leads the people of Israel to liberty. David, what is that in your hand? A sling and five small stones? Yet again, in the hands of God, those five small stones did an amazing work. God often uses the weak, the foolish, even the despised, which opens the door wide to all of us. Each one of us, God can use and God will use. Once the resistance is gone, once the ego has been laid aside, once we've learnt it's not about me, it's about him. It's about you, Lord. Your purposes, your plans. It's not about me and my will. When the faith principle triumphs in us, then our weakness with Christ in it becomes the very thing which ends our weakness. It's the same with fear. When our fear so drives us to Christ that we are utterly hidden with him, then our fear becomes the opposite. It becomes a resting place. We find courage in the midst of the fear. Some time ago, I was reading an article in a magazine, and it said this. It said, flowers are really the product of the plant's weakness. The main strength, the article says, goes into making stems and stalks. Then, out of its failing strength or its weakness, the plant can only produce the delicate but beautiful petals of flowers. In this light, think of the glorious triumph of the flower, season after season, all around the world. What a victory of weakness, issuing loveliness and fragrance, beauty of character. A shepherd's rod is a stick, a dead stick, in Aaron's hand until Christ is in it. Then it buds and it blossoms and it bears fruit. Five little barley loaves and two fish are scarce enough for one little boy's lunch. But when handed over to Jesus, they replenish a multitude. I think there were 12 basketfuls left over. When Christ is in it. To be honest, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these letters, he experienced many hardships, as described in the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 30. Five times Paul received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times, he says, I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I faced daily the pressures of my concern for the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, Paul says, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Wow. I can't speak for you, but I'm pretty sure that you've not been shipwrecked and stoned and often been cold and naked without food and all those things. Yet, during and in spite of all of those things, what does Paul say? I will boast of the things that show my weakness. I think one version even says, I delight in weaknesses. Not, it's okay, I can work with these things. It's a bit frustrating, but I'll get through. No. He will boast of those things. He will boast of his weakness. And further in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is God. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Here it is again. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's bring it back to us. Do we suffer from insults? Do we have hardships in our life? Is there persecution? Are there difficulties? Do we feel weak? For Christ's sake, let's delight in those things. Let us remember that out of our weakness, we are made strong. God's grace is completely sufficient. Brothers and sisters, if you remember nothing more from today, let's remember that you can do all things through Christ, who gives you strength. Out of your weakness, out of my weakness, comes his strength. We should be encouraged today to glory in our weakness, because it allows the work of God, the work of Christ in me and through me, to enable me, to enable you to be the man, to be the woman that God has called you to be. And that is my prayer. And that's why we're here this morning, to be encouraged, to step into the roles that God has called us into. Not in our strength, not for our glory, but in his strength, for his glory. It's all about him and him through me as our hope of glory. May God bless us all as we glory in our weakness, and as we understand that through that, God's strength will be full and God's strength will be enabling to each one of us. Little poem, happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you human. Life keeps you humble. Success keeps you glowing, but only God keeps you going. In His strength, be encouraged. Thank you.
Now invite the band back up and